Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
All right, here we are in the Bad Boys of Vegas. I forgot the name of the show. I'm just here to help the guests get on the show. So you guys who are actually the hosts, tell me, what's the name of the show?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, you know.
No, I'm serious.
It's Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast.
Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. Yeah, like I said, I'm just here to help put the guests together and so on. Go through my little phone book and so on like that. But this week's special guest... the one and the only, JTG.
What's up, JTG?
What up?
What kind of introduction is that? Come on, guys. What kind of introduction is that? Hold on. I got to do my own.
Well, I mean.
Before we start, can I curse?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can say whatever the hell you want.
Apparently, in post, they're going to add the theme music and all that stuff, the bells and the whistles, the ballyhoo and pyro and all that. So,
Okay, cool.
You know, the whole Kevin Dunn stuff.
You can say whatever the fuck you want to say, man.
Okay, great. So let me do my own shit. Let me do my own shit real quick.
You got it.
Yo! It's your boy JTG, former WWE superstar, one half of the illest tag team in sports entertainment, Crime Time. It's me, I'm here. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it perfect.
There we go, I got it. First try.
I'll be future endeavored after this episode.
Damn right.
Wow. Maybe I shouldn't answer the phone this time.
Let's go right into that
about answering the phone, because I remember a couple years ago, there is a mass layoff happening in the WWE in April. And this was going on, and everyone was following it on Twitter. And there were so many people laid off. And then, like, by each name, everyone was like, JTG made it again. JTG made it again. And every hour is like, JTG made it again. And I remember, I actually texted you, and I'm sure you got other texts of saying,
dude. Yeah, you were the reason why I came up with the... with the tweet.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, Jay, don't pick up your phone.
Yeah, I was like, do not
talking about?
Answer your phone.
Because you were on the plane.
Yeah, you were on the plane.
Yeah. And he was like, yo, don't answer your phone. And when I landed from my connection, I got a whole bunch of missed phone calls from Connecticut and Corano. And then I was like, putting two together. I'm like, nah, fuck that. I ain't picking that up. And then they emailed me, and they were like, yo, this is Corano. Please call us. I forgot what I can't remember what the email said, but it
was like
when I was in my connection, I started I went on social media.
Hold on one second, Jay. Hold on one second. You cut out for just a little bit, so I want to make sure we don't miss any part of the story, because
so great. you're in your connection city.
Okay, yeah, I was in Miami. That was my connection, and then I went on social media and I saw a whole bunch of releases. I'm like, oh, that's why Raven said don't pick up the phone. That's why I'm putting everything together. I'm like, okay, today's the day. And I was like, and then I got the call again. And I'm like, fuck it. Let me take this to the chin real quick. And then it was Corona. Like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Sorry to break this to you, but what was it? The creator doesn't have anything for you. The bullshit line you got to give you. Creator has nothing for you. Come on. And then I was like, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm pretty sure we'll work further down in the future and blah, blah, blah. Did the whole thank you and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then that's the first thing that came to my mind was where Raven said, don't pick up your phone. And I was like, damn.
Hey, I was looking out for you, you know, because I always wondered
to this day, what if I just like, just fade them, like just not ignore them all completely altogether. Would I still be collecting checks to this day?
Like, change your phone number.
If I went to Thailand and just like said, you know what, fuck it, I'm just gonna retire. Would I still be getting direct deposits? I don't know.
Well, I mean, at least I believe in this era, they'd probably just tweet you and just let you know that, you know.
Oh wow.
But yeah, since you wanted to bust my balls about your intro earlier, well, it was hard for me to think of something because it's not like you guys held any tag team titles in the WWE or anything like that, you know. So I had to figure out what I wanted to say. The star of the first two seasons of NXT, the original NXT, or whatever that TV show was at that point.
Yeah, I forgot what the hell it was called. Yeah. Yeah, but I was a pro there. I had like several rookies. I had Jacob Novak, and then I had Darren Young.
Oh, under my DUI, belt. Huh?
Yeah. All right. That was fun for a little bit because they gave me a little bit of creative
control.
So this
creative control. Yeah,
this is hysterical to me because in one breath we're saying that they gave you creative power during that, yet you got released because creative had nothing for you.
Exactly.
Doesn't surprise
that's
me.
That's how it flows.
How that rolls out.
But let's just rewind a little bit. And obviously, you know, I think the guys who actually have this podcast, they don't want to go over everything that everyone else talks about because, you know, you can hear your story on every single podcast that you ever do. So, right. I mean, just in short, obviously you grew up as a big Bret Hart fan and then, you know, you went to OVW. I think you said you were taking the bus like 16 hours a day just to train for 1 hour or...
Oh, not a day.
Was it taking the bus Jesus 1 hour a day?
It was a week.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, during the weekend,
OVW, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about OVW outside of the ring, you know, especially once you and your tag team partner got together, Shad. But at first, not sure a lot of people knew, but Shad was not your original tag team partner, correct?
No, Shad was not my original tag team partner. My original tag team partner was the world knows him as Abraham Washington.
Really?
Abraham Washington, yeah, he had his own talk show on ECW. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yep.
He was with Tony Atlas, who was his hype man. And he and Abe was really good on the mic. And he came with me with the idea of putting this tag team in OVW called the Gang Stars. He's like, we're stars, we're gangsters, and you know, we're gang stars. And I'm like, I don't know, man. It sounds pretty stereotypical to me, but the way he the way he laid it out. Like, we're gonna have bulletproof vests like 50 Cent, we're gonna rock jeans, you from Brooklyn with Timberlands, I'm from Miami, so I'm gonna wear the grill, I'm from the South, we represent the South. And I'm like, I'm pretty good. At that time when I was training, I was watching a lot of Chris Benoit videos. Can I say Chris Benoit?
Of course.
I was watching a lot of Chris Benoit, so I wanted to be a technical wrestler. So I'm like, nah, man. You know, I'm trying to be a technical wrestler. You know, my favorite wrestler is Bret Hart. Watch a lot of Chris Benoit. He's like, fuck that. You know, wrestlers don't make money. You gotta be an entertainer. They're like, yeah, you're right. You know what? Let's try it out. And we had an amateur show like in 2 weeks, and we got the vest, the chains, the grills, the fitted hats, the Timberland boots. We like invested a lot of money into this, and then when we went out there, and we came out to Boys in the Hood from Boys in the Hood, and we blew the roof off. Like, we had a great match. Everybody loved the gimmick. Al Snow heard about us, and then we didn't want to roll from there, and he was like, all right, I guess you were right. Shit.
Wow. And what? So at what point then did...
Shad became my partner?
Yeah.
So Abraham was having some personal issues, and he had to leave OVW Wrestling. So it kind of left me solo. And Danny Davis, the owner of OVW, saw a lot of charisma and potential in me. And he was like, we can't just stop right here with you. You know, you have a gift. You have a lot of talent. And Shad just finished running a segment with CM Punk. You know, he was working this angle with CM Punk for a few months, and he didn't win the title from CM Punk. And then right after he lost the match to CM Punk, they put me and Shad together. Paul Heyman decided to put me and Shad together as a tag team.
Okay.
And the following week, Shad and I won the tag team titles on OVW.
Nice.
And we were heels, but we the fans loved us. And we were on a roll from there.
So you said Danny Davis, and a lot of times his name is mentioned, but with him, and I know he was very influential in a lot of the OVW stuff, what was it like having him around? Was he a mentor to you? Because I don't think he gets enough credit when it comes to some of the guys like... you know, John down there, Cena down there, and Batista, and all those guys who were coming up at that time. You know, no one really, everyone kind of hears the name, but they don't really know, you know, I mean, what kind of influence did he have on you?
So Danny Davis, a great comparison is Danny Davis is the Vince McMahon of, for those who don't know, of OVW. Okay. He was more behind the scenes. He wasn't really hands-on with the talent. He left that to the trainers.
Okay.
So he was doing the most of the like when the matches were going on, he was telling the cameraman what to do, what angles to pick up. He edited the show, and so he ran the whole production. He pretty much put everything together.
He was the full on producer of the show then.
Yeah. Okay. And then the people like my mentors. First, I was trained by I had several trainers, but who had more of a inspiration on me and who was more hands-on with me, who, you know, taught me psychology and how to cut a promo and all that good stuff was Rip Rogers.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Rip Rogers is the man. I recommend anybody who's trying to break into the business and want to get, like, not just how to wrestle, not just the basics, but the psychology. Wrestling is storytelling. That's the man to go to in Louisville, Kentucky.
Did you ever... With Rip Rogers coming up, did you ever then, when you, you know, got to OVW, you start to get to know him, did you or did he ever share any tapes of him with you to kind of get an idea of, you know, his background and style?
I watched some videos of Rip Rogers, and it's a lot of storytelling with him.
Yeah.
Everything has to make sense. He just didn't do anything just to do it. Like, if you follow him on Twitter... he really like shits on guys who do a whole bunch of high spots,
right,
in their whole match and just get right back up. Like if you saw a Young Bucks match, you'll have a heart attack.
Yeah.
but that's the era we live in. But you know, but him, it's everything is storytelling.
Awesome.
Speaking of the Bucks, what do you think about them not replying to you guys, but reply right away to the Revival?
I was doing that to troll them. I felt like I'm not like disrespect. I don't feel disrespected or insulted or anything like that. I just wanted to point that out. I don't know whatever the reason is. We will find out in 2019. I haven't heard any word from AEW. That's the next question. anywhere from them. I reached out to Cody, I believe, like a year or two ago. He never responded. So it's like there's a lot of faving going on right now. A lot of faving. I don't know.
Yeah, they're obviously not answering the phone. So, you know, I mean, obviously at this point of the recording of this interview, not too much is known about AEW except for the names that they have signed. But as far as TV deals or shows or anything like that. But, I mean, For a promotion like that, or ROH or any other place, are you and Shad like negotiating on your own, or do you guys have like an agent who deals with, you know, these types of bookings for you?
Right now, Shad and I are doing it on our own, but Shad and I are so busy. You know, Shad is focusing on his acting. I'm focusing on entrepreneurship. You know, right now I got my beard care line and other projects that I'm working on. So it's hard to, you know, for me it's hard to multitask. And you know, I want Chad and us to put ourselves out there more. We just respond to the DMs and emails that I get from social media. But yeah, man, I would love to wrestle every weekend. You know, I would love to stay busy with wrestling. But yeah, I do. If there are any agents out there listening, you know, yes, Crime Time would definitely love to get a wrestling agent, and you know, follow us on social media and hit us up in the DMs because we're, you know, we are our calendar is open.
So you'd want the promoters and the agents to slide into your DMs, but not the females? Or which DMs are you answering?
Because the females are always there.
Okay, I just want to make sure. But yeah, because I mean, you guys did go out your way and you made some bullshit club T-shirts to knock off the Bullet Club and so forth. But you know, I mean, in this day, and you know, this is probably the best year to ever be a wrestler, you know, with so many contracts being offered. I can only imagine how much money the cons have to offer people. You know, I think Hurricane Helms had the greatest tweet ever. And
what was that?
He's calling them contracts, as in KHAN, you know. you know, the cons are offering these deals. And I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of hope for people to to get somewhere this year and ultimately in up or in backup on television within 2019-2020. But I know I do want to point this out. You know, you talked about Twitter and everything. How does it feel knowing that you carried Chad for so long, but he has more Twitter followers than you do?
Not on Twitter.
Yeah,
let's talk about it.
What? Not on Twitter.
I believe
on Instagram he does.
I think Chad has more Twitter followers than you. I mean,
absolutely not. I mean, no way, Jose. Oh, I said no way, Jose. No pun.
No. I heard that. I very much heard that.
No way. Let's see. On Instagram he does, because on Instagram I had my Instagram up and I had a good amount of following, then I had deleted. Because at the time I was in I was married, and there was a lot of females sliding in my DMs. And my one time I let my ex-wife hold my phone, and I got a DM right across the screen. Oh. She was looking she was getting directions to go somewhere, and something came across the screen. She was like, "Who's this bitch?" I'm like, "Oh, damn.
Hold on. Is that what she told you, or was the real story? Is she went in on a mission?" To see what was going on.
I gave her the phone, and a notification came across the screen, and she was like, "Who's this bitch?" I'm like, "I don't know." And she wasn't believing that.
It's my friend Raven sending me pictures again of his friends. Actually, you're right. You do have twice the amount of Twitter followers than Chad on Twitter. So, you know,
yeah, it has been confirmed.
Instagram, I had to start from scratch. Hey. But I'm pretty good on Instagram. I'm like somewhere like 30.
Yeah, I mean, 30K. All the women love the daily posts of you at Gold's Gym with the bicep pose, and who can get bored of that? You know, there's so much to talk about. One thing you did mention is your. We'll dig into this right now, real quick. You have your beard product.
All natural. Sexy as hell beard care.
Sexy as hell beard care. As I look around the room, no one here needs that.
I mean,
but
I got a goatee.
Despite
it ain't a beard.
With all of that, who do you believe has the best beard in pro wrestling today?
Braun has a pretty big beard.
All right.
Braun. I don't know if it's sexy as hell. It's pretty damn big. Who has a sexy as hell beard?
Braun's on the line of the Wyatts, you know. So Bray, Harper, Rowan, they all have that type of beard. But Braun, you know, does have that one.
Sometimes Braun's beard can be sexy as hell. Sometimes. When he gets it lined up, I went on his IG page. So when he gets it lined up and, you know, right from the barber's chair, it looks pretty sexy. It looks sexy as hell. So I give him that.
Bobby Roode has the best manicured beard right now.
Who?
Bobby Roode. Yeah. That's my take.
I gotta take Bobby Roode. I haven't seen him on TV in a while, so I gotta check that out.
I saw a picture of you and Joey Ryan. Joey Ryan has a, you know,
yeah, isn't nice.
He has a beard there.
Oh yeah, he's pretty sexy as hell.
You know, so you know, you've got all your bases covered from the big time in WWE to, you know, wherever Joey's doing his stuff each week or each month and everywhere in between, so you can just start shilling your product out to these guys and just have them, you know, do whatever they can do to get, you know, help get it going. Speaking of Joey Ryan, I know he runs the Bar Wrestling promotion in LA, and you guys recently did a bar wrestling show,
and that was so much fun. Yeah. I would love to do that every month.
Okay.
I'd love to do that every month, but
why? Because
I don't know how he books his shows, but he booked us that one time. I did it solo for a few times as well.
Nice.
So tell us more about your beard product, because I'm very interested. I don't have a beard, but I know tons of people, you know, that have beards. Tell us more about your product, because I'm very interested.
Oh, so I came up with the idea to do a beard kit because I was getting a lot of compliments on my with my beard. So all I was using was pretty much shea butter and black seed oil, and I'll mix it up, and I was use that on my beard daily, and it started growing faster. It was shiny. It was just a luscious, majestic beard, and I was just getting a lot of compliments from, you know, dudes was asking, "Hey man, what you use on your beard?" Blah blah blah, and females like, "Oh man, your beard is, you know, pretty fucking sexy." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I am one half of Team Sexy." And then I decided to, you know, add some scent to it. And I have over 14 different scents. Best seller is the almond scent. Second is chocolate, vanilla. So, yeah, so not only do you look sexy as hell, you smell sexy as hell. Oh, man, it's the total package.
Tell us how we can find it.
You could go to shbeardcare.com. And you can also follow us on sexyashellbeardcare.com on Instagram.
So what inspired you then to, I mean, you obviously had the beard, you have this idea. How did you go from just having this idea all of a sudden to actually making it a business?
I always had the entrepreneur spirit. And after getting so many compliments, I just decided to sell it on my own. So I got together with someone who was, a chemist.
Okay.
Who makes hair products. And I told her I wanted a beard care line, and she got everything is all natural. And we just decided to, do a lot of YouTube, studying on YouTube. I graduated from the YouTube university, learning how to, do an e-shop and marketing and branding and just the whole business thing. I learned everything on YouTube and started from there.
So, I know when this one specific team came out, a lot of people were tweeting you guys and saying, oh, they were a ripoff of Crime Time, or as I kept tweeting, they were the newer and better version of Crime Time.
Let's talk about it.
The Prime Time players, Titus and Darren. Prime Time
players? I thought you were going to say the movies at NXT.
Well, I'm getting there because I was saying that now that they are gone – obviously, there are the Street Profits in NXT. Are you getting the same amount of tweets and comments of like, hey, they're ripping you guys off, or, you know?
I'm getting more about the Street Profits than the Primetime players.
Yeah, I think probably because the Street Profits do shoot a lot of vignettes. Yeah. I think there was one where they actually stole someone's car. So
they did not steal somebody's car.
Yeah.
They did?
I think it was about a year and a half ago, Tino Sabatelli and his partner had like a Corvette outside Full Sail, and they got in and drove off.
But my question is, did they try to sell it?
Did
they try to sell it?
Well, I
don't know. You know, I really don't know too much about
it. I'm just saying, because that's what Crime Time
Tino did. Amos got injured. So Tino Amos got injured, so the angle was like dropped quickly. Yeah. So, but I mean, for the fact that they stole it, so... You know, do you get that often, even from like guys on the indies who may just be two black guys who play the inner city type of character, and they're like, oh, you guys are a ripoff of Crime Time, and people tweet you guys and they're like, hey, look at these guys, you're stealing your gimmick or something like that.
Oh no, just the Street Profits and when Prime Time players came out, because the names were so like similar, Prime Time players, like, and he did some silly dance and it said
millions of dollars. What
did he say? Millions of dollars. It was like so. They tried to have a catchphrase that was similar to us. It just didn't. They hit the mark. Yeah. They didn't hit the mark. But the Street Profits, they're doing their own thing. I wouldn't necessarily say, unless they started stealing and selling shit and auctioning it off, then it's like, okay, you guys are blatantly ripping us off.
Definitely.
Like that tag team who's ripping up Deuce and Domino. That's like a blatant rip off.
The Metro Brothers. Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it's funny.
But no, I think they're doing their own thing, Street Profits. Shad was the big guy. Is it the same size? One is a little bit fatter, right?
Yeah.
One is cut. Yeah. One is kind of like pudgy.
Yeah, that's Angelo. Oh,
Well, I guess it's kind of similar to me, Shad. Yeah, I'm kind of like
the younger version of Crime Time, not the current version. One thing I remember hearing this story, and I think it's a very unique story. If it's Shad told me, so I may have to question if it's true or not. So obviously everyone knows the story. You guys were in the company. You got released over some incident at a, what is that, a house show or something?
Yeah, it was at a house show with Lance Kane and Trevor Murdoch.
Yeah, and then...
Y'all stole the referee's belt, wasn't it?
So where do I start? So they ribbed us. We were supposed to go over on that match, and they ribbed us and had me get countered. They told the ref to count me out. So I get counted. I rolled in like an 8, and the ref said 9, 10, and the bell rang, and they left the ring and the ref was still in the ring. The crowd was chanting bullshit. And we kind of looked like dickheads standing in the ring after we just been fucked and the ref is still there. So I rolled back in the ring. And when I rolled back in the ring, I look up. Shad has the ref on his shoulder. He's like, hit the finish. And I'm like, okay, this is something I'm not aware of. Like, what's going on here? Like, I get counted out. Shad has the ref on his shoulder. So I'm like, I might have missed something. I guess we're just doing this on the fly. Anyway, I hit the ref with our finish, the G9, and then he starts yanking the ref shirt off his back. I'm like, okay, this doesn't look like this is planned. I don't know what's going on here. And then Shad also rips off his belt off his pants, and then you go out to the crowd, and he's like selling it to the crowd or some shit like that. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? This motherfucker fucked us. I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, okay, all right. So you had to do that. Do all that. I mean, and then like shit like that rolls off my back. Like, I don't give a fuck. It's like, I'm getting a check. They're gonna get in trouble because that wasn't planned. But Chad took it a step further. He was pissed. He took it personal, and he got a promo cut on him in the back, and then we both got a promo cut on us, from John Cena. And yeah, the next day we were released.
So, you know, during your release, you had time off. And then I believe the next year rolls around. It's WrestleMania in Orlando, the first WrestleMania, which was 24. Now, is the story true? Because you guys made your big return to the WWE the night after that WrestleMania,
yes.
Still in Orlando. Correct. Is the story true? Did you guys watch WrestleMania from the
outside
in the parking lot across the street?
Yep, we watched it. There was a whole bunch of people because of the way the arena was set up. They had like a big screen.
Yeah.
And everybody was outside watching it on their cars. So when we had a good view, and we were like, everybody's watching it. Nobody recognized us. So we just sitting with everybody else watching it on the screen. And he was like, nobody has no idea we're going to blow the roof off tomorrow at Raw. And we're like, yep.
So at that point, when did you know you were making your return? Was it weeks?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. I'm trying to remember exactly when.
Because I remember you guys, or at least Shad, tweeted the letters TNAB.
When MySpace was popping, yeah.
Yeah. And everyone obviously thought, you know.
It was TNA, yeah.
Yeah, TNA, you know, especially mm-hmm. with, you know, everyone's figuring, oh, WWE's running Orlando. That's when TNA was mm-hmm. hot in Orlando. Crime Time's going to show up at the TNA tapings, you know, the same thing. So the whole speculation.
Yeah, it's trolling.
Yeah, because I even think, you know, it got as far as convincing Meltzer that, you know, I believe Meltzer reported, like, well, it looks like they're headed to TNA. And then all of a sudden, the next night, it's like they're back in WWE.
Welcome back, champ. That was probably the best, one of the best feelings I ever had, to be welcomed back from the WWE Universe, because the WWE Universe, it's kind of hard to get over with the WWE Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, the wrestling crowd is very, very hardcore. And they had our backs from beginning all the way to the end. Till now, I'm still getting, I'm getting a message. You know, when Crime Time come back, you guys are tag team every day. I'm like, oh my gosh, please sign us so we can make these people happy and leave us alone.
So for those who don't know, tell everyone what TNAB actually stood for.
Oh, so we were trying to figure something out. You're like, TNA, what can we say with TNA? And then Shad was like, let's add a B in the back at the end and say, the niggas are back. I don't know. I don't know if WWE's gonna go for that.
It would have been better if you had Vince say it. All right. So let me ask you this. You love the universe. Would you ever be interested in doing a return again to WWE?
Yeah, me and Shad talked about it the other day. We went backstage when they were here for, what was it? Not Survivor Series. It was a Raw after Survivor Series.
Okay.
I went to Raw, as you guys saw that on my Instagram. I was fucking with,
stole someone's chair.
Yeah, and then we went backstage. I saw Vince, that night. You know, you look good, kid, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, he didn't recognize me at first because I had the beard. I'm like, hey, what up? What's up? How you doing, Vince? He kind of looked at me like, security, who's this fucking Mark? He looked around for security, and I'm like, it's me. It's JTG. Then he said, oh, shit, hey, how you doing? You look good. Like, thank you. Like, you know, I just got to stay prepared. You never know. He kind of gave me that laugh, like, okay, all right. And then I'm gonna come, Shane was there, Pat Patterson. I'm like, I'm going to come by next, come by tomorrow, hang out backstage, say hi to the boys. He's like, yeah, come on by. We'll let Corona know. Corona know we're coming by. So me and Shad went to SmackDown the next day. We talked and, you know, we spoke to Carano. He's like, the door's always open. You guys are welcome. When it, you know, he's like, we'll talk. You know, about, you know, we had to play the game.
So what happens?
We haven't heard anything. We haven't heard anything back.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what happens in that situation with them? Because, you know, you'll hear other various stories from some of the, you know, guys like Pritchard. You know, where you hear about guys calling in when they're available and checking in for jobs. Is that something that is standard, or does that turn off the office?
I don't know. But I didn't know. It took, how long have I been released? I was released in 2014. So it's been 4 years since I had any type of interaction with them, since I've been.
So that was your backstage. That was your first time seeing them backstage?
That was my first time, yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. And so I went, and you know they talked. They offered, the office said we look good, and you know we would love to have you guys back. But again, I don't get my with in this, not even just wrestling, the entertainment industry. I don't get my hopes up. I don't have any expectations.
Yep.
Like that's 2 weeks ago. I was offered a movie. Hey, you look good. You'll be great in my movie. Blah blah. Give me who's your agent. Blah blah. I'm like, okay, yeah, here's my information. Never heard anything back. You know, like so I don't have any expectations. I'm like.
So when they made that offer of the movie, were you in L.A. or in the Valley?
depending on how much it is in the Valley, I might do it.
For those of you who are listening in this country who don't live in L.A., the Valley is associated with the porn industry. So that is what was being related here.
So you talk about, you know... you know, movie roles and whatnot. You know, what's some projects, just for some of the listeners that are not familiar with you, what are some of the projects that you that you have under your belt?
So I've done a independent movie with these two YouTube stars. I forgot their names, but it was called Bad Night. It's on Netflix right now. Bad Night. I did a Geico commercial last year. What else have I done?
Did you get to be part of the Sharknado experience?
Yes, I was part of the Shark. I totally forgot about that. I was part of the Sharknado experience. Shad was Muhammad Ali, and I was Joe
Frazier. That's right. Yeah,
yeah. I almost didn't do it because they wanted me to cut my beard. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not cutting off the sexiest hell beard to play Joe Frazier. What else? So the Sharknado, damn.
I hate to interrupt. I've acted in L.A. and have you studied with anyone acting coach wise out there?
Acting coach wise, no. I did some acting classes, but it was a while ago, and when I was in the East Coast.
Okay.
And I had acting classes with Freddie Prinze Jr. while I was in the WWE.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
So also too, I mean, in addition to everything that you're doing, I mean, you're also an author. You know, I mean, you have two books.
Yes,
you know that you
two
written?
Books.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
I decided to do a book when I would tell stories and tell stories to my friends and family who didn't really necessarily watch wrestling, but they just thought it was pretty wild. Like, damn, you guys went through some shit, and Shad is a character. You should put this on paper. you should put this on paper. I'm like, I'm not an author, you know. I don't know how to. I don't even know the beginning of like starting to write a book. And then I just started to. I pretty much wrote 80% of my books in my phone. Like when I come up with a story, I would just go to my notes in my phone and just start writing.
Yep.
And you know, whenever I was inspired, like I wouldn't force myself to do it. I only work on a project if I'm inspired or. Inspired to do it. Like that book could have came out a lot faster or sooner, but I had a lot of gaps in between it because I didn't force it. I just let it came to me.
That's what's up.
Came to me naturally. Yeah.
And with doing other creative endeavors like writing and acting, okay, and you kind of hear this, but is it true that the live audience experience, and I know what my answer is in dealing with live audiences, is just 100 times different in terms of fulfillment that you get when you're in front of that live crowd?
Absolutely. I would love to, I'd rather be in front of a live audience in a ring than, you know, on a set.
Right.
Yeah. I would definitely rather be. Yeah. That's you're acting and you're getting the satisfaction of, you know, of the audience. You get to hear, like when you do a movie and you have a good scene, you got to go to the premiere. You have to wait months after editing and all that shit to go to the premiere to see how the crowd responds.
Have you ever thought about and talked about, either thought about by yourself or talked with Shad about possibly doing stand-up?
Shad and I have done stand-up before.
Okay.
Where was it at? Second City in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did improv and we had done stand-up. And we got a pretty good reaction. It was, you know, I had a lot of fun. I told a story. I had about 3-5 minutes. And the crowd loved it. I thought about doing stand-up a while ago while I was in the WWE. Then I got turned, like, I saw the dark side of it. And I'm like, I already went through the dark side of wrestling. So.
That's so true.
I don't know if I want to do it all again with comedy. It's like, ugh.
So
I went back, like I went backstage. I think it was the comedy. Was it the Comedy Store?
Comedy Store.
The Laugh Factory. I can't remember. I think it was the Comedy Store. The red and black one. Which one is that?
Yeah, that's Comedy Store.
Yeah, Comedy Store. And you know, after I saw somebody go on set, and then they came backstage, and everybody was talking shit, and everybody like back there. I'm like, the energy there. It just didn't feel like, I don't want to do this again. I did this already in the locker rooms. I don't want to go through that again.
Everything feels like you're back in high school.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
So you talked about how you're telling stories and so on. I am sure, because I know a few of them, teaming with Shad, meaning you have to ride with Shad from city to city. How many parking tickets and how many cars have you wrecked during your time in WWE?
I personally wrecked one car. Shad, I think he pissed off a truck driver and he ran us off the road.
Oh, shit.
He got a couple of scratches on that one. Shad pulled over a couple of times. Shad got arrested. I had to go come bail him out. We missed the autograph session.
Oh, shit. Damn.
In that kind of circumstance, do you report to Carano on that?
Oh, at the time it was John Laurinaitis.
Oh, it was Laurinaitis. Oh boy.
Yeah, yeah. So when we got to the arena, he was like, "Hey, Johnny," Shad, you know, he went straight to, "Hey, man, that cop was a racist." "That cop was racist. I'm sorry, I missed the autograph session. I was driving, you know." But at least with Shad, he always took the blame for it. He took full accountability, and he's like, "Jay had nothing to do with it. I was driving." But some reason John Logan and I always like to blame me. Jay, why didn't you tell him to slow down? He's like, what? He's like, what?
So there's at the point, you know, where you guys were split up as a tag team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, always heard the stuff how, you know, it was kind of Shad's idea, you know, because he was trying to see if he could go solo. And, you know, I think you probably want to try it at the same time.
It was both of our ideas.
Looking back at it now, do you think that was a good idea?
Looking back at it, I definitely believe it was a good idea for us to split. I think it was a bad idea for us to feud. I don't think every tag team that splits have to have a big breakup.
Yeah. A feud behind it.
It could be like a split. You know, you guys go your mutual ways, and you know, one is on Raw, one is on SmackDown. I don't think we necessarily had to have that match at Extreme Rules, the strap match.
Right.
And I would have took different. I would have did something different the way I went solo. Like the way I look now, I shouldn't look like that. That should have been my transition. You know, I would have wrestled in trunks. I would have grew my beard out, cut my hair, and that would have been
And then then they would have thrown you in, you would have started New Day.
Probably.
Speaking of in New Day, of all the teams on the roster right now, it could be WWE, it could be ROH, it could be AEW. Who would you like to face right now in Fantasy Warfare?
Fantasy Warfare. There's a title now. Shit.
Crime. Damn. It would definitely have to be the Crime Time versus the Usos.
The Usos. Yeah, that's a good one.
But we'd have to do the whole setup. I mean, you know, there would have to be the rap battle.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, yeah. We'd kill him in that.
Yeah. There would have to be.
Shad and I got bars for days.
Yeah. I mean, like, literally, you would have to go the whole route. You know, maybe you guys have a female and, you know, she's trying to seduce Jay or Jimmy and, you know, Naomi finds out and freaks out. No, seriously. I mean, there's so much you could do, like, with that program. You know, mm-hmm. it's not just like a one and done, you know, you build it up for 3 weeks and one pay-per-view. Yeah, there's so much you could do, you know.
That's probably it'll be fun.
It'll we'll steal his wife or something. Remember that storyline with, who was it, Pillman and Goldust?
Yeah.
He had his wife for like a month or something. He dressed up like a whore. I would love to do something like that. Take Naomi and dress up as a ghetto whore.
But you know what? That's a very good point, because that was something that I've said before, is that the Glow gimmick to me is just, it's too, you know, put her, because she's married to him, put her with them and have her be more like the Usos and have, you know, I think that just, it would be a great sell. And, you know, what a better way to do it than to bring back Crime Time, who...
it's too much of a good idea. They're not going to do it.
Exactly.
So if the company called tomorrow, or actually Tuesday, because tomorrow's a holiday.
Wednesday, because they don't have any TV.
Oh, there's no TV. Yeah. So the company called on Wednesday. Yeah, because Vince is working SmackDown this week. So, yeah, definitely on Wednesday. And they said, you know, we want you back the day after Mania this year.
After Mania?
Yeah. Would you and Shad be in the right spot mentally and personally to go back and just leave whatever you're doing right now with your career, your personal career?
Physically, I'm definitely there. Mentally, better than I was before. I'm not going to drop everything that I'm doing. I can still do everything that I'm doing right now, you know, from the road. But yeah, we just have to talk numbers, and that'll be it. You know, I'm much older and smarter now. You know, they can't throw a low ball me and Chad. Like, hey, here's 60K. You know, you need us more than, you know, like, come on, guys. Like,
it's funny because your moveset is still in the current video game.
Yep. So
I know, right? And where's my royalties, damn it?
Go ahead.
So, you know, most, you know, usually when we start interviewing people, you know, I always ask this one question. You know, any time in your whole career, what is an oh shit moment? You know, you kind of told us one earlier, but you have another one that's just a oh shit, totally caught you off guard. You're like, what the fuck just happened? Do you have something like that?
Oh shit, my life was like in the ring, like.
It could be anywhere, in ring, backstage, catering, you know, at the hotel, anything. Sky's the limit.
Oh shit moment for me. We got ribbed by it was our first time on the road, actually. First time on the road. It was Umaga and Viscera. They started arguing, and we were cleaning up the locker room, because, you know, when you're new, you know, you have to, you know, pay your dues and, you know, clean up the locker room when everybody's done at the end of the night. We cleaned up the locker room, and then Viscera and Umaga start arguing, and we're like, oh shit, like, the fuck's going on here? And then they started pushing each other. We're like, oh shit, what do? Do we call somebody? I'm not breaking this shit up. It's two big guys.
Hell yeah.
Chad is just standing there with his mouth open, and I'm like, oh shit. And then they started, like, tussling. I'm like, oh shit, the fuck do I do? I'm like, I'm looking for an official. And then they started laughing. They're like, where the fuck you going? And I'm like, I was gonna call somebody. He's like, he just fucking with you, man. I'm like, man.
Hey, that's definitely that was the old shit.
That was the old shit.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and then one of the like and then another one was like when we found out we was working Jericho and Big Show.
Oh,
that to me, yeah, for the titles at SummerSlam, that was like, for me, that was like mind blowing. Like, wow, Big Show, Chris Jericho for the title, SummerSlam, Staples Center. I was like, holy shit, I worked hard to get here. I deserve this.
Which at this day, I still believe Chris Jericho says that he felt you guys should have won the titles that night.
Mm-hmm. When did you say that? I think you did tell me that. Yeah, but I think that was stopped by DX because they wanted the next pay per view. They wanted to win the titles because they needed to win the titles.
what was it? You know, here you are, and you definitely have the wrestling chops. So, being in the ring with Jericho, was that just like, you know, a knife through butter? Did it feel like that was great? Because here's another guy, when you're talking about your influences of seeing Bret and Benoit, here's Jericho, who, you know, that was his road too, where he looked at those guys.
What was your question? I'm sorry.
Did you like working with Jericho because of the style that Jericho works and having been influenced by Bret and Benoit as well?
Oh, I love working with Jericho because he looked out when he does a match. Even when I worked with him solo, some guys working with the WWE, they're not concerned about the match. They're concerned about getting their shit in,
right?
Like getting all their signature moves in, making themselves look good. Jericho reached to a point where you're not gonna make him look bad no matter what.
Yeah.
no matter what you do, you know. So he's like, whatever you want to do, let's do it. I'm gonna make it make sense. So I tossed all my moves at him. I was like, this is how we're gonna do it. He said to me, this is how we're gonna do it. Make it make sense, and you can use this for other guys. Like he really cares about the business.
Yeah.
You know, he really cares about getting younger talent over, and that's why I love Jericho so much. He's like, he's such a professional. He's a class act, and I respect him so much to this day.
When's the last time you've spoken to him?
I think it was probably maybe 2 years ago. I saw him around, it was on WrestleMania time.
2 years? Do you know where he's at now?
AEW?
You may need to call him and be like, hey, you know, remember that time when I let you do all those moves on me? You guys need some color in your company.
We'll send you a Fozzy t-shirt you could wear and hook up with him at WrestleMania.
Butt him up a little bit.
Yeah.
He'll be in Vegas for their event in May, so, you know.
I got some time. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys made your debut on the main roster in Los Angeles. You made your return in Orlando. Obviously, you've wrestled all around the world and so forth. Where is the best arena you've ever wrestled in?
Oh man, best arena.
Because you're built from Brooklyn, but I don't think you guys made it to the Barclays Center.
No, I made it to the Barclays Center. That was the first ever match at the Barclays Center. It was dark. It was a dark match.
Okay.
But I wrestled David Otunga.
All right. So there's a little piece of history. First ever WWE match in the Barclays Center.
There's also another sexy beard right there, Otunga.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, I sent him some stuff. He loves it.
He put soul glow in his beard. He'd be shining and shit, like different angles. Like, damn, what is he putting in? It's all moisturized. Shit.
So
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's mine.
So what arena would you...
I would have to say Madison Square Garden.
All right.
That place means so much. Has a lot of, like, the story. My mom used to take me there when I was a kid.
Okay.
Every month they used to run in the late 80s and early 90s. They would run there every month, and my mom would take me, my older sister. And just, I remember the first time I went to MSG to perform, you know, almost shed a tear, almost cried, but I'm such a badass, I couldn't let it come down my cheeks. But yeah, it's been like going backstage is like, and then seeing, they have a lot of photos, historical photos up at the Madison Square Garden. Like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, other artists, and I'm like, wow, I'm performing here. You know, I grew up coming here, taking the train, the D train, all the way to Penn Station, and, you know, walking up the stairs and walking through the crowd and chants and people holding their signs, and now I'm backstage. I'm a WWE superstar, so that's, I love performing at MSG. Damn.
So out of everyone on the roster right now, who's the one person that you miss seeing, like, weekly?
I used to ride with Ziggler. Ziggler's hilarious.
Yeah, but you know, because I, not to cut you off, but I think actually the first time I ever met Dolph Ziggler outside of the company was in North Hollywood. You bought him by a house. One day you did.
Oh yeah.
You did.
I remember that. Yeah,
so I guess Dolph would be the one you missed the most. You know,
Dolph is hilarious. I also rode with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is hella cool and laid back. To he was. I don't know if he will ride with me anymore. He's riding with JoJo
all the way around.
Who else? Yeah, I don't know, like Kofi. Kofi's my boy. Yeah, those are the guys I miss the most.
Nice.
So I got a good question. You know, we're gonna mix it up a little bit. You know, what are some things that, you know, outside of the business, or when you're not, you know, with your busy schedule and writing books and coming up with great products, natural, all natural for beers, what do you do to unwind and relax? What are things that you do that's all you?
I love going to the gym, as you can see. Nice. That's like my therapy right there. And I got YouTube Red. I love watching YouTube. I love learning. I like watching self-motivational stuff and watching stuff, you know, helping me learn how to market brand and so on and so forth.
Beautiful.
So that's like, yeah, I'm not really big in going out. You know, spending unnecessary money. I'm always investing in some new project or in my businesses. I do. I'm not gonna say I don't go out, but I just don't. You know, I don't care to go out as much.
This guy said he doesn't go out yet. One night in Vegas, I'm drugged down some hidden walkway under the MGM, and we hit. I think it's the MGM, and we end up in the middle of Pakistan. And not just in the middle of it, it's Khloe Kardashian's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
With French Montana.
Chad drugged me to that.
And then the Jay drugged me. He's like, I don't want to go alone. I'm like, I don't want to go with you, too. Like,
and you complaining about that.
No,
I'm just saying.
It was actually a fun time. No, there's actually a picture. I don't know how it ended up on. I really don't know how it ended up on TMZ, but there was actually a picture of Chad and Jay attending Khloe Kardashian's birthday party, and it was a story on TMZ.
Really?
And yeah, and the picture is Jay's just sitting like on one of the steps inside the club or something, looking totally uninterested, and Chad basically has his shirt practically off, and it's just partying. It was like, it's the greatest picture.
I gotta see that. I remember vaguely.
Yeah, I forget what year it was, but you know, I remember it being on TMZ like within, you know, two days after that or so.
Speaking of TMZ, I mean, how do you like being able to have those TMZ guys, you know, kind of at your fingertips if you need them?
I mean, it's good if they're a good tool to have, you know. Sometimes they catch me in Beverly Hills because one of my best friends out here lives in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And just randomly catch me off guard and ask me ridiculous questions. It's like, okay, whatever. And sometimes I don't even think it's going to make TMZ because it's like, I didn't think it was that significant. But next thing you know, a day later, I'm on TMZ Sports. I'm like, wow, that actually made it.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So I kind of wanted to go back with something you said because I find it very interesting. And if you could kind of elaborate more, you said that you know you watch YouTube and you listen to investing and tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, maybe in the form of what would you suggest to somebody who's looking to either form a brand or invest in themselves, something that they believe in that's worked for you?
I would just say find a niche that you're passionate about. So, because if you find something that you're passionate about, it's not work. Like when I'm working on my beer care thing and I'm writing blogs and I'm coming up with memes and different stuff to brand myself and get my the brand Sex as Hell out there, is work. It's not work. It's like I could do it for hours and I keep coming up with creative shit and I keep putting it out there, you know, to create, you know, a buzz and get traffic to my store. The store's doing all right. You know, I want to do a lot better. But you know, you have to spend money to make money, and I'm learning that all on YouTube. You know, I was completely oblivious to SEO and and backlinks and all this shit. So I'm learning it. You know, I'm starting from the bottom.
All right. And you mentioned the store. What is that store? Is that the same store you mentioned earlier? Or I want to make sure that they get this information because you're dropping pearls right now.
SAHbeardcare.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we just have a few more minutes. Real quick, I'm going to throw you some words. Either give me a word reply or a sentence reply.
Okay.
Shelton Benjamin.
World's greatest tag team, underrated.
Android or iPhone?
Android, definitely. Want an Android right now.
That's why it's so clear. New York or L.A.?
Damn. I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth.
Let's see what else. Since we mentioned them earlier, Kim or Kourtney Kardashian?
Man, y'all gotta hate me. I love Kourtney. I think she's
same here, brother. Yeah. Same here. Oh, yep.
She's thicker.
Vince or Hunter?
Vince all day.
Shane or Steph?
Shane.
All right. I know Shane collects a lot. He's a shoe guy. I'm sorry, what?
I think he's big into Jordans.
Yeah. Nike's, Jordans, yeah. All those. What was it like wrestling in Tim's?
Oh, that's a damn good question.
It took a long time to get used to it, but I broke into it pretty quick, and you know, I'd rather wrestle in Tim's right now than wrestling boots.
Do you own a pair of wrestling boots?
I do, actually. I ordered a pair when I was doing my solo because I didn't know what direction, if they was gonna ask me to wear trunks or not. So I just always wanted to be ready. Wrestling boots take time to make.
Right.
So I got some made just in case they asked me, like, do you have any wrestling boots? And I, you know, with wrestling, you always got to be ready. They don't want to hear, oh no, I could get, you know, you have to say,
right,
you know, you have to be prepared.
Now, was there one specific store you bought your Tim's out, or was it just on your random days of traveling, you found some place?
Yeah, if I thought I had too many scuffs on my Timberland boots, I bought them random places, Macy's or Foot Locker or wherever.
Did you ever try to, like, contact them and be like, hey, I'm on TV each week, you know, let's work out something?
I did that with Timberland and also some jean companies, like clothing companies, because I was wearing different jeans every week, and none of them ever got back to me. And like, wow. Then I also had like a publicist from WWE reach out to them, and
so they you even used the company connections, yeah. And no one got
like,
wow.
I'm on TV every, because I remember one of them was Crown Holder. I don't know if you guys remember Crown Holder. Their jeans, mm-hmm, were like $500.
Yeah.
And they had like the detailed sequences and studs and gold thread. And I'm like, I can't be paying $500 a week some jeans. You're gonna have to work something out here, and I'm giving out free publicity.
So in reality, the theme of your career is that no one responds to you.
The fuck?
The jean companies, the shoe companies, the Young Bucks. It seems like the only person that responded to you was Mark Carano, and he said, hey.
I know, right?
Hey, all I can tell you is when people don't respond to you, that means that you are going to be successful, because then they're going to be biting their words. It's like, oh, wow, I should have reached out to them. You watch.
And I think on that note,
one last quick question.
That should be the name of my next book. You should have responded.
There you go.
You know what?
I want an autographed copy, please.
You know what?
You got it.
Here's the deal. If you guys happen to sign a contract with a new up-and-coming promotion that everyone's talking about, that could be the cover of your book.
You should have responded.
The contract. Yes. The contract can be the cover of your book, and that's the name of the book. You should have responded. Because now, look at me, I just signed this contract, and mm-hmm. I have season tickets to the Jaguars or whatever. I think Matt has a question.
Yeah, really quick, before we end up here, how's it been for your daughter? What is family life like with raising a girl?
Right now, I'm currently divorced. She lives in the East Coast with her mom.
Okay.
I was just with her for surprise for Christmas, and I was with her. Awesome, man. So it's all right. I mean, I speak to her every day, you know, thank God for FaceTime. Yeah. But yeah, my personal life. I'm right now. I'm happy. You know, going through the divorce, like the first 3 months was kind of like very depressing for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a little spiritual retreat for the weekend that helped me, you know, get through it quicker. It was like a lot of people take long, like years to get through it, you know, a divorce, they're depressed, a lot of husbands. I ain't going through this bullshit. This is like really, really bad.
I understand, man. I went through two of them. I know.
So the spiritual retreat was not at the Spearmint Rhino.
No, it was not an experiment. Oh, right. No. I went on YouTube. I did my research, and I heard of something called something. Also, what's his name? Another wrestler, Matt Bourne.
Okay.
What's his name?
Evan Bourne.
Evan Bourne. Mm-hmm. I remember he mentioned something to me called ayahuasca, and I also heard
ayahuasca in Peru.
Ayahuasca. Spiritual Joe journey. Rogan talk, yeah, exactly. Brother. Joe Rogan talk about it. So I did that for a weekend, did a lot of detoxing, cleansing, and releasing a lot of negative energy and bitterness and depression. It was just like, and with that, it was just like nonstop hours of shitting, peeing,
yes.
Yawning,
yes,
sweating, got released it all. And the next day, he was just loading information.
Now,
and I'm like,
it's funny you say that because, you know, my ex-wife was from Peru, and I've been trying to actually do that for a long time. But due to funds are low, a disease I suffer from a little bit, I'm looking to do that in 2 years. So it's crazy that you
say that.
Why wait so long?
I
suffer from Funzalo. See, in the words of Kevin Hart, I have a checking account and a savings account.
Oh, Funzalo.
Yeah, so, you know.
You don't got to go to Peru. I went in Connecticut.
We're going to exchange some information right after this.
Yeah, I wasn't going to Peru. Hell no. Okay. I suffered for that when I was going through that, too.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to holler at you on that one because it's time. Yeah. It's time.
Maybe Rome.
I definitely recommend it because I was at a really low point, and that shit helped me. And after that, I think a few weeks later, I moved to LA and I started getting my shit together.
Yeah, all right. What's up?
He visits random homes in the valley with his friend Dolph Ziggler. Like, got his shit together. But maybe Rome can get on that retreat before the next time because I think the guys would like to have you on later in the year. You know, one more time. Hopefully, we'll keep track of you, and we can get you before any contracts are signed at any company it may be. I'm sure Lucky over here would prefer ROH or somewhere.
Yeah,
for his fantasy booking. But Jay, thank you so much. I'll be back in LA in about a week. We're gonna have a meet up for some lunch or something.
No problem. Sounds good.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Man.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, take it easy, man.
All right, you too, man. Peace.
Peace, brother. Peace.